morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson sitting here, and across from me,
sounding
in the flesh and the flash, is
sounding very radio this morning. Steve Williamson, Mike Cosentino is on the mic, and we're going to have an interesting talk this morning. We're going to have a very political talk this morning. It's a political show, Democratic Perspective, and one of the ways you get a perspective is from looking outside. So we're going to have Art Babbitt, famous.
Popular. Evil Republican.
Coconino County Supervisor, by the way. I mean, he's got a position of, somebody elected him. Somebody liked him. And I'm teasing him already. Art's running for an office for LD6. Let's get it right up front here. As an independent. And I'm sure he'd be the first to tell you, as he's told me, well, when's the last time a Democrat won? But we have him on Democratic Perspective. And I got that from several people, by the way, other political wonks.
And I want to remind people, LD6, there are two representatives and one senator. And Felicia French is running for Senate on the Democratic side.
That's it. I think a lot of times we try to sort things out on Democratic Perspective. We try to make things clear.
In Arizona, the districts are geographically exactly the same, the Senate and representative districts. So Art, if you won, would be representing the same district as Felicia if she won in the Senate.
Right.
So,
and it is a massive district that goes from Jerome all through Verde Valley up to Williams, Flagstaff, Holbrook, down to Payson, all the way through Lake Roosevelt. So it's a big one.
Yes. What's not in the district? Winslow, for example. And is it a pretty much a contested district? I mean, Felicia French came within, a few
500
hundred votes.
Yeah.
I mean, demographically, it's a district that really is fairly representative of Arizona. It's a Republican majority district. Second largest voting demographic is independents, right around kind of 34%. And then Democrats are the third largest voting block in there with, right around 30%. But it's, fairly representative of what the state looks like.
Tell us a little bit about your political experience. Sorry, Mike.
So, I've been in local and elected politics for 15 years. I served on the Flagstaff City Council. I'm in my second term for the Coconino County Board of Supervisors. I served on planning and zoning way back in the late 90s and early 2000s. So I have a long history of public service and electoral politics. I'm the current chairman of the board of Coconino County Board of Supervisors and have really been, privileged to serve in organizations that serve people and serve outcomes. And I got to say, local government, there's a reason local government, regardless of affiliation or non-affiliation, is the most popular scale of government. And that's because, A, that's where we do the work.
That's right.
That is relational to people's lives. And that's where we get to have personal relationships. As tough as that may be when you want to go shopping with my 10-year-old daughter, it's really that's the beauty of local government. And that's why local government is a relationship-driven outcome.
Why is that man swearing at you, Daddy?
Right. What's he talking about sewer rates in our...
Right. Well, one of the things, a couple of the things I want to throw in here, as a teacher, one of the things that drove me crazy is we study the snot out of federal government. We study the, Washington. We study even maybe to some degree state. That we know the most about the governments furthest from us. We know the least about the governments closest to us.
That's absolutely true, Mike.
And I don't, and in my classes I gave it, go to a city council meeting, bingo, you got to be, Mm-hmm. Just show up.
People don't even know that they're in legislative district six.
Yeah.
And they don't know what the geographical extension is. And I think that, even at the mayoral level, I mean, people in the village of Oak Creek think they're in Sedona City and they're not, and they come in and yell at the city council people about something that's happening out of their jurisdiction. So I think your point is good, that you need education, Mike, on local
politics and local issues, like, you know, how many state senators are there?
Mm-hmm. How many state senators are there?
Yeah.
There are a total of 30 state senators and 60 House representatives.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go.
Those are the people causing all the problems. They're stealing all the money.
See, I look at that's where all the opportunity is.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, me too. Well, you know, and our representatives, and I think that's part of it. I think people have disengaged in current times, or that either, I take it back, they've obviously, some people have super engaged. They're predicting wild record outcomes for 2020. On the other hand, we all know people, because of the tenor of today's political environment, have checked out.
Also, we have a problem with Democrats not voting down ticket.
Yeah.
If Democrats had voted down ticket in this last election the way they had voted at the top of the ticket, now, you know, Felicia French would have won her post. And so we do have an issue. It's very, very important to vote the entire ticket. Now, people are saying, well, start at the bottom. I don't think people are going to really do that. But you do have to vote the whole ticket. You need to look at all the different candidates running for all the different posts. When you drop off, then you get a vote for one level, but you don't get a level for all. And if you really want to be represented democratically in the small D sense, right, you have to really vote for all the candidates running. And to do that, you have to do a little research and find out who people are.
Well, that's it. You know the people vote for the sound of your name or whatever, and they don't want to do that, so they don't vote at all. And so maybe that's better than that. But yeah, all the campaigns, I believe, are encouraging. I've always encouraged down ticket, you know, vote all the way down the ticket, even if it's party specific.
Well, people, I'm not sure. Not doing it, that's the problem, I think.
Now, is your observation in Verde Valley that actually plays out? Because I know in Flagstaff, in Coconino County, there's not this major significant drop off on
the
ballot.
There's a significant drop off of Democrats voting, and we have the statistics, I guess, for the district and mm-hmm. stuff. I don't have them in front of
yeah,
me,
I don't have
but Dora is passing them out. It's a significant drop off, and so you have one of our candidates. Had a huge drop off in the number of Bobby had a huge number drop off in the number of people.
Bobby Tyler was running for LD6.
Yeah, and there was a big drop off. Yeah, you know, compared to Wade and so forth and so on. So, yeah, it does occur. But I think we should ask Art about what are his issues, what's his platform. What do you think, Mike? You actually want to ask him some political issue questions or not?
It's a long show. We'll get to it. So, Art, why are you running? Why, you know, you got this happy political job in Flagstaff. Why do you want to be at the state legislature?
Well, I mean, I think at its core, why I want to run is I'm feeling fairly underwhelmed with the results that we are getting, in our current representation and around the state on how we are having our conversations.
Amen.
To me, how we have our conversations is as equally important as the conversations the topical areas of those conversations. So when I look at the political landscape and I look at my background and what has informed my decision, you know, I look at the world through a few lenses in terms of this. I look at the world with 15 years in local elected government. I am an elected independent. I'm one of three elected independents who run as political officers in the entire state. And that has served me incredibly well.
One of three.
Correct.
There are no elective.
We have to pause there for a minute.
There are no elective representatives who independent representatives in the state of Arizona currently. Right. There's zero.
No, and in
there's
the
no,
history
nobody
of,
in the Senate. Either.
In the history of the state,
yeah.
of, and I happen to have the Constitution with me that does not prohibit independents from being right. elected, but it's never been done in the history
okay.
of the state.
Okay. And when I looked at the nationwide, there, I think, maybe two state senators who are independents who've gotten elected, two national senators who've gotten elected, and about in the entire United States, about 30 independents elected to state representative positions.
So we are relabeling this Art Babbitt's history-making campaign for LD6 as an independent. Which seems to lend credence to the idea that you need a party behind you. You need that organization in modern times or olden times to have a successful campaign.
There just aren't very many examples, Art, of independence in political office in the United States. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but when I looked at the statistics, it was a little bit of shock to find. I think there were just two state senators in the United States who were independent.
But that is not by accident. That is by intention. And there are many things that Republicans and Democrats don't agree on. There are a few things that they do agree on. One of those is ensuring there are some structural barriers to having a competitive electoral system. And so I want to say one of my most observations of our electoral system is that we live in a country and we have an economy that is based on the marketplace of good ideas. We have competition in our economy. We have competition in our social settings about new and emerging issues. And yet when we come to our electoral system, the less competition, the better. The more plug and play, fewer choices, the better. And I think we are reaping exactly what we have sown there. My point as an independent is people have a profound and visceral understanding that two parties that go to their corners and lob a bunch of grenades into the room are confusing that action with problem solving. The people who I engage with want government to get down to thoughtfully discourse the issues that impact their life and come to the middle 60-70% of the room. I am fully aware on both D's and R's that there are partisan people who are profoundly content and happy and are well served by that intensity of divide. My point is that's not where the majority of people are. That's not why I've run as an independent, and that's not why I've been effective in bringing people of diverse perspectives together. You know, one party does not have the patent and trademark on good ideas. Good ideas come from people of diverging opinions and perspectives. There are great Republicans in the Arizona legislature who have talked about good, solid transportation fixes. There are profoundly committed great Democrats who talk about creative, innovative ways to get us to K-12 funding that at least gets us back to 2008 levels. So my intent is not to minimize the importance of parties. Parties should be part of our landscape. Absolutely. They people coalesce and around values and different perspectives.
Right.
That is great. I think we have overshot the runway on the intensity of where the party drives the narrative as opposed to people who form coalitions and build consensus around really, really important issues.
Certainly the people I talk to are we're talking to Art Babbitt, Coconino County Supervisor Candidate for LD6.
Wants to be the first morning. Elected representative, state representative in the history of Arizona,
running
elected as an independent.
Running a history-making campaign, and we're talking about it right here in Democratic Perspective, because what he says, I believe, gives us a perspective, as I said at the top of the show, on democracy and Democrats. Certainly the people I talk to agree with Art Babbitt into a large degree. That in politics today, that the two-party system, this exclusionary club, not having the young people will not miss an opportunity to tell me about how rigged the primaries are, and of course they point to Bernie in the last election and the feeling that the primary was rigged. As Art said, so I'm taking a long time to agree with him, but I'm. And certainly it's a wonderful, wonderful breath of fresh air, I think, in Arizona politics that to have Art Babbitt. I wish we had more of them. I think it gives everybody, like as he said, even though the party faithful, it gives them, it sharpens their act a little bit.
I mean, I don't have a lot of disagreement with most of the Democrats elected to
right.
at the state level. I mean, when I look at our candidates who are Democrats, I see really great candidates. So, Art, let's talk about your platform. How is your platform different than, say, a Democratic Party platform? Coral Evans, who's the mayor of Flagstaff, where you're based, is also running, and she's running as a Democrat. How does your platform differ from, I guess, Democrats and Republicans?
Well, I mean, I think the first The first kind of notable difference that I bring is how I do my work. I am not running as independent because it's easier. It is not. It is profoundly more difficult. I'm not running as an independent because it's cheaper. I don't bring any I am running as an independent because I think that's exactly what voters and constituents and citizens in the state of Arizona are asking us to do. Stop the vitriolic grenade lobbying and get down to governance. I have a history of 15 years in governance. I'm a small business owner. I look at the world through some lenses that have informed me and served me well to actually move and make progress by building coalitions. And when you talk about what is my philosophical approach, from a social perspective, I have profound alliance with understanding that individual choices should be exempt from some of the heavy government intrusion that we see around women's reproductive health care decisions, around who we love and how we define our love between committed adults. And interestingly, those have profound affinity with many conservative, what used to be...
That's true.
Used to be viewed as conservative kind of foundational principles, that individual liberty piece. So I have a piece of that and very much around I don't have a lot of no-go areas in terms of red lines. I will say women's reproductive health is one of those. Or I don't have a lot of movement in terms of how I look at that world.
A listener is asking, mm-hmm. What is it that you do? What is your business outside of?
Yeah, so yeah. I've started many businesses, several businesses in Flagstaff over the last 20 years. For 19 years, I've run the Flagstaff Community Market successfully. It's one of the top farm-to-market agriculture. I have lots of ag roots in the Verde Valley with our growers. I restored and renovated the historic Orpheum Theater. I reopened that with two partners. That has turned into a absolute hallmark of vitality and vibrancy and entrepreneurism in the downtown Flagstaff area. And I also was a licensed contractor for a number of years.
I see on your flyer that one of your issues is local control. And that's a big issue in Sedona, where we have the state legislature telling us what to do all the time, telling us that we can't manage Airbnb, telling us we can't do this, telling us we can't do that. We have people who call themselves conservatives. They want freedom from the federal government. When they get in control of state government, are busy telling the cities and towns what they can do and cutting in our autonomy locally to make our own rules.
Yeah. Local. So this gets right back to my point of local government and why cutting your chops in local government is so important. And I bet if you were to look at how many state legislatures have no local government experience, you know, I bet it would be a significant proportion. And it is because of that. Talking about governing and governing are two different exercises. And those of us who have served local communities understand the implications when preemption comes in for Airbnb regulations. Coconino County, we have profound implications from the city of Page to city of Flagstaff to Upper Oak Creek, where these areas are absolutely impacted detrimentally. Why? Because the legislature did not take the time to understand the relationship between their action and local communities. Your observation that it's all about the feds until it gets to the state, and then we are the flotsam and jetsam that comes out of there,
right,
is 100% accurate.
Well, in Sedona, for example, I barely believe the statistics, Mike. I'm not sure I even believe them. Is that we have almost as many Airbnbs in Sedona and the village of Oak Creek as they have in Phoenix. I mean, it's a crazy situation.
One of our supporters here is Steve Segner. We're going to see him this morning, and we're going to ask him that very question. And I'm sure he's going to say the Airbnb number is around 500 or 600, where
they're saying 2,000 plus.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen of 2,000.
Folks, we'll bring you that number back on the next show, at least from the president, by the way, of the Innkeepers Association. So it's not like he's just...
Yeah, but okay. The point is really that we're talking to Art about, what I'm trying to get at, Mike, is the depth at which the state legislature is fooling around in local issues. For example, it goes down to plastic bags. You cannot forbid plastic bags in the state of Arizona. The legislature doesn't matter what the town wants, Mike. State legislature has voted that you cannot ban plastic bags. And it goes on and on. There are lots of these funky, practical warped issues.
Warped, ideologically driven, ordinance or laws.
Or economically driven.
Or maybe economically.
Who doesn't want plastic bags? Ask yourself.
Yeah, okay. Like, well, that's it. So, exactly, friends.
Now, I'm not advocating that one way or the other. I'm just saying, I'm talking about really the interference and the ability of large contributors to set legislative.
So let's jump right into that. So one of the opportunities I've had in my walk up to my announce in February is to really better understand this little document that has some relevancy to our lives here. This is the Constitution of the state of Arizona.
Oh, we just ignore that.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The legislature does.
Why should we show it to the Supreme Court of Arizona? Yeah. I don't think they've seen it.
So, show it to the legislature. I don't think they've read the language about education.
Go ahead.
I think one of the really interesting conversations around the Constitution, and you hear people who will champion the Constitution,
yes,
on one hand, and then subvert that same document on the other hand.
A national pastime.
And this is, you know, for those of you who don't know, and I'm still learning, the Constitution of the state of Arizona is a really impressive document. It was started to be crafted in 1910 before final adoption in 1912, and it really was largely in response. The framework and the narrative around that time was what entities hold undue political power and influence over the political and economic landscape of this state.
One thing they were concerned about, for example, in those days was railroads.
So
the impact of railroads
were the two entities that wielded undue political influence relative. What we call that is wrestling above your weight class. and so when you fast forward that, 100 plus years, you look at that same issue of what are the entities that are holding undue political power and economic influence over the state of Arizona. And breaking news, come to find out, there are still those entities who are wrestling many sizes above their weight class. They buy and pay for legislative and sometimes agency folks with regards to corporation commissions.
How do you spell APS?
Yeah. What about APS, Art? What's your position on APS, who seems to bought the corporation commission that regulates them?
My position is look at what I do, who I take and who I do not take money from. I don't take any corporate PAC. I don't take any dark-minded money. I am funded by individuals and people where there is accountability to. And so when you talk about how do things on the fringe become the mainstream, we have an electoral system that is engendering that because 22% of low turnout primary voters guide the vast majority of seats on both the D and the R side.
That's right.
And so I don't think that's serving us well. But this Constitution is actually really important because it's the Constitution that has framed how our citizens relate to political power and influence. So when you have constitutionalists, be very wary of constitutionalists who come forward raising the banner of the Constitution, yet every legislative session try to chip away and destruct the construct of initiative and referendum that is part of our DNA.
The number of issues
big part of the Arizona DNA is the initiative process, mm-hmm. which they are destroying piece by piece, and Robert Thorpe, and our representative is one of the architects of that, of exactly what Art is saying. We sit by and we watch these guys who supposedly wrote a book on the Constitution, which is, I don't want to say plagiarized, but certainly quoted liberally.
It's almost contentless.
It's difficult to watch.
All right, but the thing is that what we see is the state legislature violating the Constitution, the intentions to have a free public education when tuition goes up and up and up, and many of the other issues. What can be done about that? How are you gonna call them to account to the Constitution when they seem to systematically ignore it when it suits them? whether it's paying for education or many other issues.
So I think how you govern in a state like Arizona has some. It's really important to understand the construct of our political makeup here, and I think the Constitution informs part of that. But I also want to say we come, and this is sometimes sometimes something that serves us well, and at other times it serves us very challenging way. And we have a very, very fiscally disciplined political structure in this state, whereas we have a two-thirds majority out of the legislative body in order to raise taxes. And so my goal and why I think I am positioned well and why I think people are absolutely ready for a different style of doing business is to recognize the guardrails that are in this state, but be effective within those guardrails. And so I want to just talk quickly about kind of fiscal policy and tax policy.
Please.
That relate to budget, that relate to K-12 funding education, that relate to transportation infrastructure. So every year, and as a small business owner, this I have profound understanding about the color of the number that's at the bottom of a spreadsheet. There are two color numbers that come up at the bottom of a spreadsheet. One's red and one's black. Yeah. There's no purple or anything like that. No. And so we need to make sure we have people who understand and are fluent in the mechanics of fiscal dialogue to serve objectives. K-12 funding, education, a great example. We are still, depending on whose numbers you use, you know, 400 to 800 million below in K-12 funding today than we were prior to the recession. Arguably, as a business owner, I know if I have to invest in my foundational components of my business, that's what K-12 funding is.
That's right.
It is about creating a culture and a society that engenders opportunity and promise for people. So in the state of Arizona, and the legislature does this, we have many, many, many fiscal interventions around sales tax, giveaways, tax breaks, different type of incentives that were given. Possibly, I'm going to give the benefit of doubt, for productive reasons at one time, to help stimulate the renewable energy industry, alt-fuel vehicles. Those are a couple. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. What we should have, if we are a business, if we are a state that actually manages its fiscal resources with sound, smart, common sense business practices, is we should be sunsetting every one of those sales tax incentives unless the legislature reaffirms them. Because as a business owner, when I put something, you know, when I put something on sale, I don't leave it on sale for the next 45 years. I figure out what is its smart intervention. Have we met our objective? And then it goes away.
We have had Democratic candidates sit in that seat and say the sales tax exemptions are adding them up are an astronomical amount of money.
Well, let me tell you, it's $12 billion a year. Well, it's $1.7 billion for counties alone. And so it's not that we should not be intervening in economies to help produce outcomes. We should. And I am saying, but if it's a good idea, let it be reaffirmed. If the sales tax abatement was given to the largest, to he or she who walked in with the largest army of lobbyists, that is probably not a compelling reason to continue that.
All right, a controversial area here, Art, is should there be a sales tax on services? Right now in Arizona, there's not a tax on services. So if you go and buy a widget, you pay a sales tax depending on the city, county, state. But if you buy a service, you don't pay a sales tax in the same way.
Well, the last electoral proposition took away much of the service sales tax. Whether you like it or not, that discussion is, to a significant sense, put to bed. Where we're talking about is sales taxes for goods that are tangible, that were given to produce an outcome where we have no idea if that outcome is still being
equipment
served.
For mines, you know.
Coal.
Being, you know, not taxed by the state. So these $1 million mining pieces of mining equipment not taxed. It's the state is losing, as he said, $12 billion. We're talking about fundamentals. It always This is a state that runs on, what, just over $10 billion. The whole state runs, I think, on what my family ran on. I'm exaggerating, a bunch of poor people back in here. But what my school district ran on in other places.
But you own that
we
city,
run,
right?
We run the whole
Buffalo was yours. You were, like, on the top of that pedestal.
I'm trying to ignore you. On $11 billion, we run the whole state. And that's prisons, that's schools, that's everything we run on $11 billion. So I think the state, in macro terms, is incredibly economically conservative when in that way. But how that $11 billion is divided up, or is that $11 billion enough when it comes to education? The answer is clearly no. And that 70% of the people want to fund education higher. So I think, I want to remind listeners again, with 15 minutes left, we're talking to Art Babbitt, Coconino County Supervisor today, who's running for state office. He's running for state representative, House representative, in LD6, our district. So far, there are Democrats in the race, but on Democratic perspective today, we are featuring this, I don't want to say wild, certainly this thoughtful, independent, for this office. It's, and just his entry into the race, once again, it gives perspective to everybody, it makes the race incredibly more interesting, and I think will bring out voters. Art, what do you think? I think
so. Well, I obviously think so, but that's
well.
That's,
so that's, you know, first of all, when we look towards 2020, the electoral landscape is going to be it will be hitting new realms. I mean, the turnout is likely going to be well in excess of 80 to 85% in Yavapai County. So we're going to be in uncharted territory. Wow. But I want to say, people understand that our current system is not serving them well. And that is not a knock on the parties. It is a knock on the influence that people play in our electoral system. People from Democratic to Republican to Libertarian to Green are sick and tired of people who are bought and paid for, who have all these chits that get to call in on them. When the time comes, they get, you know, they abdicate their vote and replace it with someone else's.
Well, now you sound like Alexandria Cortez. Private prisons.
So
Arizona is number one in private prisons,
and that is enunciated in our budget. So there's some interesting conversations about what is a budget. It's not just numbers. It is about your vision and your qualitative understanding of the direction and priorities of the state. We do not need to probably cover this last 15 minutes here and talk about all the special interest money that drives public policy. I don't take it. I don't take party money. I am funded by individuals precisely because we want to make sure, I want to make sure I am representing people, not interests outside. It's not easier to do that. It's much more difficult.
Nobody believes that there's any money in that.
Yeah.
And, a lot of people that I know would have a hard time believing your campaign has any.
So I am raising money incredibly well. I am bringing a very well-financed, very well-disciplined campaign to this because people across spectrums want us to recalibrate leadership.
What are you going to put your effort in, Art, in your campaign?
From a strategic perspective?
Yeah, what do you, as a practical matter, you're coming in as an independent, what are you going to put your effort into? What's the campaign going to look like? I mean, I know you don't know completely now because we don't know what's going to happen yet.
You mean where do I prioritize?
Yeah, what are you trying to do?
With 15 years in local government and regional government, I have some very strong affiliations with entities across this county. Like I said, for 19 years, I've done farm-to-market, small agricultural world. You understand what ag does for the Verde Valley right now.
I do.
It is a core component of its quality of life piece, but also increasingly, whether it's viticulture or small ag or those of us who are engaged in agriculture or small ranching, a core component to economic development. You just don't build that in 6 months. You do that over 20 years. The second thing is I'm the chair of the Four Forest Restoration Initiative, which is all about forest restoration and industry cultivation. That is strong tentacles down through Pace and just down through Taylor and Snowflake. Those are areas and relationships I have. You know, what people viscerally understand is that they want someone, I want to be in the aisle. I don't want to be reaching across the aisle. I want to be in the aisle because I want to be able to align with good, thoughtful Democratic positions and move those forward by building relationships. And I want to be in the aisle for Republicans who have good, thoughtful proposals and policy positions, which there are, and help engender those. So, you know, oftentimes, That's the analogy that sums up why I'm doing and
the,
and
the
what
only
I hope to
the
accomplish.
Only Republicans I've ever talked to that I could stand with are in agriculture, quite frankly, because they have an understanding of the economics of working of you know, and they're not a lobby per se. They say if I am in favor of a piece of legislation or something, it's because I have a real reason for that.
And let me ask, Art, what is signature issues that you're running on, Art? We've got a few minutes left. What issues do you want the electorate to hear that are you think are particularly important and that you want to focus on if you're elected?
So I'm going to start with signatures. So you know, I need about 3.5 times the signatures that a Democrat or Republican needs to get on the ballot. So great segue into that because the playing field matters and people understand the playing field is uneven, and I don't call it rigged. I call it largely predetermined. As far as signatures issues, as a small business person, I understand that if we want to get things, we have got to invest. The key components of investment that I think relate to core governmental functions at the state is K-12 education. I have a 10-year-old daughter who is incredibly well-served in our public education system. We need to understand that if we want outcomes in K-12 and we want to not be 49th in the state in per-student capita funding or not be first in the state in fewest number of counselors in public education, investment is what it is. You cannot chip away at that on the margins of efficiency. So I bring an understanding of governance and an understanding of the fiscal mechanisms that allow us to make those outcomes. So fiscal tax policy is a huge deal for me.
Governor, I'm going to get right to it, charter schools. Governor Ducey, headlines the other day said that he was going to allow state money to go to out-of-state private schools. I'm going to ask you, but only because it's a topical. I sent him a letter, by the way, and I didn't use any foul language. But is the charter school support out of control? Is this a tail wagging the dog? Then when you got one third of the legislature making money somehow or another from charter schools. Mm-hmm. What can you do about this level of corruption?
Well, so what it is, it's a level of it's prioritization. So what Proposition 305 clearly showed is the citizens of Arizona have infinitely higher capacity of understanding the economics of what public education is than what the legislature has. My daughter went to a charter school for a couple years. I am all for that level of choice. What I am not in favor of and what I will be an advocate for is ensuring that you can't have the same level of funding and have completely different rules that guide you. Services around people with special needs, with mental health provision, those who are often the most critically in need of a level playing field don't get it in that situation. And so one of the things that I do want to make sure, you know, I've been very, very active in mental health, community mental health initiatives and the Stronger for One coalition. These are relational pieces to education because what we are seeing in education in a system is where those same socioeconomic stratas have the very significant implications to the challenges our kids and our youth face. And so mental health, substance abuse, I'm someone who's been in recovery for 19 years. You know, I understand that. That's part of my landscape that informs me on how we provide opportunity. I've been given a lot of second chances in life. and I have the opportunity.
As we all have.
You know, the opportunity to bring forward some perspectives that I think are pretty unique and enunciate those in a way that I think resonates to people's understanding that what we're doing right now is not problem solving. It's ideological lobbing and grenade lobbing.
What about the mental health facilities and counseling in the state? It's very much underfunded, and we're using the jails, including private jails, to treat people who are basically psychologically in deep distress, Art, who don't belong in a jail. It seems like a jail situation would just make them worse.
Yep. So you're 100% right. Our county jails have become the mental health residences for way too many of our population. I want to say Yavapai County and Coconino County both do a fantastic job with understanding and integrating a much more holistic approach to criminal justice service.
I want to underline that. I'm having experience with both over the last 50 years. They've improved so much. Mm-hmm. Wasn't always that way, but Yavapai County and Coconino County today in 2019 and their law enforcement relationship with mental health is better than it's
better than in most of the rest of the state.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
These are two good counties.
Absolutely. Yavapai County, they do fantastic kind of initial upfront mental health screening because so many of the symptoms of that mental health or substance abuse, the tentacles of those come into our educational system, our judicial system. So Coconino County, we have a recovery court. We have mental health court. We have veterans court. Because in order to be effective and actually reduce recidivism, you have got to, on some level, come and speak with people in a way and on terms that are meaningful to them.
I'm also going to have to underline that. Are you listening that to have this, to have a candidate understand this and to put this, and maybe we got lucky directing our conversation to this, but it's so important as a teacher, as a social service. I've been both of those things for a long time, working in social services, working in education, that the frustration comes from when you see all the things that you just mentioned that are not being taken care of that end up in your classroom or end up in your client in a social service setting and all those things out of your control that you could design.
Like the lack of counselors in the school.
Exactly. I mean, a 12-year-old with a heart could design a better system than some of the things.
I mean, and the general public safety from sheriff to probation to juvenile to courts represents greater than 50% of our county budgets. I'm sure it's the same in Yavapai. That's how it is. And so for us not to be thoughtful on how we intervene, again, this is investment. You know, that's how the business world works.
Oh, Art, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Tell us how people can contact you, how they can contribute to your campaign. Yep. And you can repeat it at least twice.
Okay. So you can visit my website at art4az.com. Information about my bio, my supporters, my vision, my idea for how we move beyond hyperpartisan politics and stand in the aisle, not reach across the aisle. That's artforaz.com. We're having a coffee right after this at El Portal.
That's right. Please come join us at El Portal, one of our supporters, Steve Segner's little restaurant over there near Los Abrigados.
We do want breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah. You can buy me breakfast.
I don't think so.
We want to mention that Steve, along with Democrats of the Red Rocks, are one of our supporters, that help keep Democratic Perspective on the air. You can go to our website, Verde Valley Independent Democrats. We have the word independent in our name because, we feel a little bit like Art Babbitt, but VVID.org, Verde Valley Independence.org.
And we want to thank Art Babbitt for being with us today.
We want to push the donation button, at least find one there.
On our website.
We want to mention that Democratic Perspective is live streamed, by the way. Claudia Clark is our tech person, and it's live streaming right now on Facebook. You can find the Democratic Perspective website. You can listen to this podcast. Art talked about lots and lots of things. We have he's bringing a lot of excitement to the LD6 race. You can go to VVID.org and listen to this show as many times as you want. VVID.org is all our podcasts. Our whole archive is there. We want to thank you, folks. Democratic Perspective. See you next week.
Thank you.
All right.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.